Tuesday, January 30th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every weekday and we talk sports. We try to mix in some common sense that is not actually all that common, might have some sarcasm here or there, and we are happy to have you with us today on this Tuesday. You might not realize this. Might not be on your calendar. You might not have heard about it at work. But today, January 30th, is actually National Plan for Vacation Day. Not sure how that came about to be on January 30th. Maybe we're just looking forward to spring or summer or whatever it is. But January 30th, National Plan for Vacation Day. You know, I guess we figure that now that we have been at our jobs for 30 full days of the new year, it's kind of time to start thinking about getting the heck out of here. Now, I suppose I probably should have mentioned this yesterday, but January 29th, actually National Airlines Raised Their Rates Day. Kind of funny how that worked out, isn't it? Not sure that was on accident, but I think that was pretty much sealed up yesterday. So good luck planning that vacation today. Hey, if you would like to contact us and tell us where you're going on vacation, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. Handles are Daily Dose Sports. We would love to hear from you. You know, we've got a lot to get to on this Tuesday morning. We did get some news yesterday that I have been hoping to hear. I want to talk a little bit about that. We have a team doing some political things. Plus, we are going to be joined today by a friend and contributor to the show. Big Rob is going to stop by and pay us a visit. You know, Rob won our college football pick'em contest, and we want to get his thoughts on the Super Bowl, in which, I might add, he does have a bit of a rooting interest. We will get to Rob here in just a minute. But first, some news that came out that I actually was excited to hear. The Canelo Alvarez-Gennady Golovkin rematch is on. The deal is done. The fight will take place May 5th on HBO pay-per-view. Of course, these two fought back in September in an epic fight, but it ended in a controversial draw. And while it was a crappy decision, I've watched the fight two or three times again. It was a crappy decision. It was anything but a crappy fight. The fight was one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. You know, both fighters absolutely brought it. They put on an excellent show. As we look forward to May, can Gennady Golovkin fight as tough as he did the last time? He is a little bit older. Remember, they were already saying he was a little bit too old for the last fight. Didn't look like it, but can he do it again now? He's a little bit older yet. And can Canelo Alvarez avoid Triple G's power again? He did it for the most part, but there is no question, Gennady Golovkin hurt Canelo. I promise you, Canelo hasn't forgotten that. I'll guarantee that. Now, does it scare me a little bit that Golden Boy Promotions is doing this fight again and Canelo is a Golden Boy fighter? Yeah. Yeah, it does. That scares me a little bit. That makes me worry a little bit that we could have maybe some handpicked judges for just such an occasion like happened last time. Because we all saw the decision last time and it didn't make 1 ounce of sense. You know, I heard people after the fight say, hey, you can make a case that that was a very, very close fight. Yes, you can. But remember, it wasn't the close fight that was the problem. It was the fact that the one judge, Adelaide Byrd, judged the fight 118-110 in favor of Canelo. That was the problem. That was where it got so weird and lopsided and screwed everything up, was because of that one judge. Will we have another weird judge on this one? I hope not. I hope not, because these are two great fighters. I hope that we get another great show. By the way, in related news, questionable judge Adelaide Byrd, that did come under fire for that bizarre ruling, she did speak out when they announced that this fight was on. Do we have that clip from Judge Byrd of her reaction when this fight was announced?
I just called to say I love you.
What was that? That was Judge Byrd? So are we saying she is Stevie Wonder? We're saying she called us? What are we saying? Oh, we're saying that she can't see. Why do we got to take cheap shots at Stevie like that? You know, I like Stevie. Don't take cheap shots at Stevie Wonder. That's not nice. Of course, the big news yesterday came out of the NBA, where the Los Angeles Clippers agreed to trade all-star forward Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons in exchange for Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, and Boban Marjanovic. Oh, and plus first and second round picks that I guess are lightly protected. Detroit also gets Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed. And sources are saying that Clippers are still looking to possibly deal Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan. Now, what in the world could the Los Angeles Clippers be trying to free up so much money for? I'm trying to think of any players that might have a home in LA that are going to be a free agent here, maybe sometime soon. I don't know. We'll just think about that. We'll kind of put that on the back burner, at least for right now. Maybe the Clippers are just trying to build through good young players, and so they just want to get all the picks they can. Or maybe they're looking to make a big run and a big splash with a big name player. Just throwing that out there. Now, what does Blake Griffin bring to Detroit? Because right now, they're just outside the playoff picture, 3 games behind Philadelphia in the East. Hey, Blake does make them better. No question about that. He is more than capable of leading the Pistons to the playoffs in the East. I mean, he's got Stan Van Gundy, and we know that he knows how to play with a primarily defensive rebounding kind of center like Andre Drummond, because that's what he's been doing with DeAndre Jordan. Does have Reggie Jackson out there, so he can make the Pistons at least a playoff team. Hey, here's the thing. No one is going to Detroit as a free agent right now. There's no way you'd go there. Like, if you're a free agent, you're not signing with Detroit. So to make a trade like this was really the only way for the Pistons to get a good established player. So can Blake get them to the playoffs? Probably. Will he get hurt along the way and not really do anything in the playoffs? Again, probably. And one more news story before we get over to Rob. The Cleveland Indians are removing the divisive Chief Wahoo logo from their jerseys and caps starting in the 2019 season. There has been a long-standing racial attachment to the Cleveland Indians logo, and they have finally come to the conclusion that it is no longer appropriate for on-field use. Wow, way to go, Cleveland. No, nice job. Way to do what the Washington NFL franchise refuses to do. I mean, that's... Wait a second. Hold on. Wait 1 minute. Let me think about this for just like a second. I mean, far be it from me to point out nonsense, but I feel I might have to call BS on this a little. Why announce it? Why not just pull it? Why not just do it? If it is no longer appropriate, then get it off the shelves. Let's burn it in effigy. Why would you announce that you will pull it in a year? Oh yeah, that's right. To try to sell as much of it as possible for the people that want to hoard it and save it for when they think it will no longer be available. But remember, you didn't say it wouldn't be available. You said they wouldn't wear it on the field. So why do I just know that the fact that the players will no longer be wearing it, it will still be being manufactured and it will still be being sold? Yeah, never mind, Cleveland. You aren't doing anything but trying to make some more money and trying to convince everyone that your racial logo is going away. It's not. It's just not going to be on the field anymore. Sorry, Cleveland Indians. You get no praise whatsoever.
Nothing for you.
Hey, coming back, we will have to get to Big Rob and get his thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl, in which he does have some serious rooting interest. Not only is he a fan of one of the teams involved, but he is also the winner of our Daily Dose College Football Bowl Game Pick'em Contest. We have something very special for Rob in honor of his achievement. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose is a man who has been with us since the beginning. And I don't mean the beginning of the podcast. I mean before the podcast, back in the old Daily Dose radio days. Big Rob, you know, I would introduce you as a listener, but that, honestly, it doesn't do you justice. Listener, contributor, sometimes therapist of the Daily Dose. Rob, welcome back to the Dose.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back again. Good to be back.
You know, first and foremost, Rob, congratulations are in order to you. You are the winner of our very first Daily Dose College Football Bowl Game Pick'em Contest. Rob, you did a nice job not only making your picks, but also weighting your picks so that you got the most bang for your buck on each one of them.
Yes. I think that's the key. I'll be back next year to defend my title, but I'll still give this tip out. Yeah, definitely early on. Like I said, you want to, if there's a lot game, some of those early bowl games that can be a little slow, but if you're pretty sure who's going to win, you go ahead and put the big points on those right away.
Yeah, no, you did a great job. You picked them, and you do this all the time, though. We have a lot of pick 'em things that we have going. I've seen you make picks before. You always do, whether it's March Madness or it's, you know, college bowl games, whatever it is. You do a very good job of making your picks. We're going to actually see if you can make a pick a little bit later in the show. Now, what you may not realize, Rob, is that we do, in fact, have a prize for winning. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay, now this is our first time handing out our prize, and I will be very, very transparent. You don't get to keep the prize This is kind of like, it's kind of like the Stanley Cup. Like you get possession of it until the next Daily Dose contest. We would like to announce that Big Rob is the inaugural Daily Dose winner of the Daily Dose fax machine. We have an actual fax machine with the Daily Dose logo on it. It does work. If you go over to our website, you can see a picture of it. Rob, I'll text you a picture of it. It's very, very nice. It does work. You can use it as much as you want. Not only can you send faxes, you can receive faxes. I think you can like print some things on it. It's roughly the size of like a Volkswagen Bug, but congratulations to you. Enjoy your winnings and happy faxing to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I will clear out a place on my mantle. I don't know if I'll actually use it, but I'll put it up on the mantle.
I'm warning you ahead of time. It's not small. Like this is not the compact newer fax machine. It's large in size and you can fax like I think your whole desk as big as this thing is. But congratulations to you. It is very, very well deserved. But you know, before we get into Super Bowl 52, and I want to get your prediction on that because like I said, you're good at making picks. I want to discuss a few other things with you if that's okay.
Of course, of course.
For those that do not know, and we may need to actually sit down and dig into this a little deeper at some point, I would love to have a conversation with you about this. Rob, you played some collegiate soccer, didn't you?
That is correct. That is correct. I played a couple different places out of high school. Played 2 years at West Virginia, 1 year at Alabama A&M, and then I finished up and graduated from DU, University of Denver.
What position did you play in soccer?
I played forward, played up top everywhere.
Okay. So you are looking to be that striker going down and score some points?
Yes, yes. Trying to score the goals, get the glory.
Is that what it was about? Is that what you were doing?
That was about.
Yeah. I'm assuming you had a pretty solid high school career then. How did you end up getting to go Clark to West? You were from Texas, right?
Yes, yes. I played high school at Kingwood High School.
Okay.
And then out of there, I was recruited, went on a couple different college visits. And then I actually got the best scholarship deal at West Virginia. So that was the reason that I went out there.
Wait one second. You said you got a couple of offers here. I want to hear some of these other offers. Not the offers itself. What other schools were you looking at?
I took all five of my visits that I got. Okay. So obviously West Virginia was one. University of Kentucky, went out there for a visit. They flew me out to Florida International in Miami. Got to check that out. Coastal Carolina. And then a little small school in Texas called Incarnate Word. But those were the top five, you know, that I took my visits on to check out the schools. And then ultimately ended up settling on West Virginia.
Rob, those are not small-time schools. Those are big-time schools.
They were. They were. Like I said, Florida International was probably my favorite. Like I said, it's right there on the beach. There was a concern about making it through that first semester.
Yeah, there's going to be distractions there.
A lot, quite a few. I mean, Kentucky was good too. Like I said, it was, big time party school, which West Virginia ended up being, you know, which you might not think off top, but, you know, definitely a college thing. So kind of typical college that you would think of. But like I said, ultimately, settled there out of school.
Rob, you were a big time recruit.
A little bit. I was okay. I was okay. Like I said, I went to Kingwood High School. I think I actually still hold a couple records there for goals and assists and stuff like that.
You were like Jesus Shuttlesworth. You know, I'm not, this might affect our friendship. Like you were big time.
I was all right.
So. Let's dive into this just real quick. I didn't really set aside time for this, but we've got to discuss this. Sure. You went on these recruiting visits and without naming the school, you don't have to name the school. And we can say it's you visited a sixth school, whatever. Were you getting some like interesting offers or anything? Like what was anything maybe they kind of threw out at you? Might you want to make you go there?
I guess I don't know if I can say the school. I'll say one of the places I went to. Well, I'll start this way. They all set up the same. So they fly you out there, usually meet the coach dinner. Then they put you with one of the players. You go to practice and then they kind of show you the town, if you will. So you can go to they'll take you to different parties, just different locations to hang out and stuff, different nightclubs there in the respective cities. You got to meet the other staff or the other sports. You know, primarily women's soccer since I played soccer.
Sure.
But yeah, all the trips, like I said, it would last, you know, just for the weekend, flying in on Friday, come back on a Sunday. And like I said, basically, you know, they just show you the area, kind of wine and dine you, and then fly you back home. So I had a good time at all of them. I'll say I had the most fun at Miami.
Sure.
Was my best trip, Florida International. Like I said, lots of parties And it was a lot to see, especially, you know, coming out of high school, just being 18. It was a good time. It was hard to say no to that.
I bet it was. Wow. Wow. That's good stuff. I'm glad we're going to need to have you back on and talk about this a little more in depth, because I think there's some things out there that you could tell us that you're not telling us. But we'll go down that route a different time. Now, you actually follow soccer. You are a Man U fan in the English Premier League. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yes.
I need to understand something, because I follow soccer at a distance. Like, I will watch some World Cup and I'll watch some Olympic stuff, and I'll watch, like, if there's a huge match in a league like that. But otherwise, I'm not watching it. You actually pay attention to it. And I understand
that.
I do,
yes.
Please explain to me how relegation works. Like, do teams get relegated every single year? Does someone move up, someone move down?
Yes, yes. Every year, I believe it's the bottom three teams. And like I said, if you don't finish, you know, out of the standings, the top 20 of them, I believe it is 20. And like I said, the bottom three are relegated. So basically, they go down and they bring up three new teams, which is, you know, kind of interesting. I think, you know, something that would be interesting to tie into our sports.
So oh, even like I a love football, that idea.
Or yeah, even NBA, or like I said, football, for example, you know, like the Browns,
yes,
would not be in it next year, and you'd have a new team, you know, come up and, you know, play that season. So, you know, it kind of adds a different dimension to it as well. Because like I said, obviously, you know, the top teams are competing for the cup. But then, like you said, towards the bottom of those, you know, the bottom half of the league, you know, there's also competition there as well, you know, because you want to be in the league next season.
You know, I don't think we use it nearly enough. Like, we need to be bringing this to the NFL. We need to be bringing this to, we need to be bringing this to college, like the SEC, the bottom half of them, and, you know, some of the bad schools in the Big 12. Like, yeah, you're just relegated. Sorry, you moved down. I would love to see this in the NBA. Tell me the Sacramento Kings shouldn't be relegated. Of course they should.
Yeah, and I think actually the NBA might even be the easiest one because of, you know, the G League that they have.
Yeah.
So they already, you know, kind of have farm teams in a sense there. So that would be an easy, you know, something easy for them to adopt. And would, like I said, make it more interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
And probably get rid of that, of the tanking problem too.
Yes, you want to get rid of the tanking. Hey, we're just going to drop you down into the G League next year. Tank all you want. No, I love that idea. You know, one thing about soccer that I don't understand that you're going to have to help me understand, it's just regular season. The points are the point. There's no playoff. There's no postseason. That's the part that I struggle with the most with leagues like that. They don't have like a postseason playoff or anything.
Correct. Yeah. Like I said, the points are what they are. And like I said, that's how it goes. So in a sense, every game matters. So like I said, a little different from, you know, college football.
Right.
You know, where you can, you know, lose one early, but kind of still make it into a playoff, you know, scenario where this is just, you know, every game, you know, actually counts and you need that result, you know, every week, no matter what.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're going to move on from soccer. I held you up with soccer as long as, you know, as long as I need to. We're going to move on and actually talk about this Super Bowl, Super Bowl 52. Okay, Rob, now people might not know this, but you are a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. This is your team. How in the world is a kid from Texas who went out to West Virginia and was playing soccer, how did you end up following the Philadelphia Eagles?
Randall Cunningham was my favorite player growing up as a kid. So I've, you know, watched him early, had the jersey and everything.
Sure.
And just, you know, kind of just stuck with the Eagles from that point on. A second team, if there is such a thing, is the Tennessee Titans. Like I said, I grew up in Houston, which it was the Oilers.
Yeah.
And they moved and they're now the Titans. So I silently root for the Titans.
Okay.
But yeah, Philly is my main team.
That's funny. So you're following Philly back with those early mid-90s Eagle squads that might be some of the most talented teams ever with what they had back there. Those defenses with Reggie White and Clyde Simmons and, I mean, Wes Hopkins, those teams were stacked.
Oh yes they were. And like I said, offense as well, or even like I said, defensive. Brian Dawkins came a little later.
Yep.
But big time defensive player, yeah, for a long time.
Did anyone throw a prettier pass than Randall Cunningham?
I don't think so.
There was just something about the way he threw it and how effortless it was. When it came out of his hand, he would flick it and it would go about 75 yards. Absolutely unbelievable player.
Third and 14. Well, Cunningham has to be real careful here not to just put it up for grabs. A turnover here will kill the Eagles.
And a sack in the end zone is not outside the realm of foot. Here comes Smith. There's Cunningham. Dodges left and puts it way downfield. For Fred Barnett, who has the catch, and the race is on. There are no flags, a 95-yard touchdown.
not the first, yeah, but I guess one of the earlier mobile quarterbacks that could tuck it and move a little bit.
Well, and not just be a threat to move around, but like be a threat to go 90 yards on a given play or something. Of course, we all remember the Monday night game against the Giants where they cut out his feet. He still makes the play. I mean, his leap over the defender in the end zone and does the flip into the end zone. No, Randall Cunningham was absolutely amazing to watch. I understand why you would get caught up on the Philadelphia Eagles because he was an amazing player to watch.
Yes, yes, he was.
Okay. As a Philadelphia fan, and I realize you're not there in Philly, so maybe it's a little bit different for you. As a Philadelphia Eagles fan, though, have you ever or would you ever consider throwing snowballs or maybe batteries at Santa Claus?
Only if I was in Philly.
Okay. You have to be there to experience that? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you just, that's part of it while you're there, but just, I wouldn't do that otherwise. But
okay.
I could see how you could get caught up in the moment there.
Those are some crazy fans you have up there. That's a whole different breed. Like when the news came out this last week that they were greasing the light poles so the people in Philly couldn't climb them. That's a whole different animal there. I mean, like you're talking about a different breed of fan. I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Yeah, like you said, that's next level. And just, I mean, you know, just imagine that call. I don't know if the, you know, that goes through the police department or what, but when it looks like they're winning, do they put the calls out to
right. Get the Crisco, the boys. We've got work to do. Get the Crisco. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how that call does go through across the scanner because that's kind of a, it's kind of an odd one. You don't hear that one very often. Okay, we have to get down to what is actually going to happen in Super Bowl 52. And Rob is obviously very good at making picks, so we want to get his prediction for the big game, and we are going to get it right after this. Just a quick reminder, you know you have to get something for Valentine's Day for that special someone. You may as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme is called Protect, and it features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But if none of those interest you, that's all right. Go over to Loot Crate. You're going to find pretty much any franchise you can think of. And of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure that you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. You might as well save a little bit of money on a goofy holiday like Valentine's Day. Okay, you know, you look at this game, and I know that you're a fan, but I also know you're pretty good at making picks, like we talked about earlier. Is this game difficult for you to be, like, objective with, or can you look at it and say, okay, I've got to weigh, you know, strengths and weaknesses, and I've still got to approach this to make a realistic pick, as opposed to just going, I'm a Philly fan, Philly's winning, I don't care?
Yes, I'm still going to pick Philly, but there's a certain way. I mean, I think everything has to fall in line for them to win. You know, Patriots obviously are the favorite. And rightfully so, you know, should be, you know, they're not going to beat themselves. But I think, you know, if everything falls in line, you know, there is a legitimate chance that, you know, Philly could upset them.
Rob, don't tease me. I'm telling you right now, do not tease me with this thing. Okay. What is the scenario? What's the game plan you could see taking shape that Philly could win?
Well, I think the defense will hang in there. But with the Patriots, I mean, regardless, even if the defense shows up, I mean, they're putting up 24 points.
Yeah.
At least. You know, so we're looking for at least 28 from the offense, which I think is really the side that it's going to come from. You know, it would have to come from. Foles, you know, again, is up and down. Patriots defense is okay. You know, they started bad. They got better. But I think it's more so like the adjustments that they made and not necessarily, you know, like a Jaguars, you know, dominant defense,
yep.
Top players everywhere. It's just more of a system base, good halftime adjustments to kind of stop what you're doing. And I think Philly may have enough to get around that. You know, I figure LeGarrette Blount can run in a short one. Jai or Clement, you know, if they can take a screen in, that's 14 right there. And then we need another two touchdowns from the receivers. You know, Aguilar, Alshon could get one, especially early in the first half. Like I said, I think we got to get on them quick. Possible, try and get up early. And then, like I said, just kind of hold that through the second half. Like I said, similar to the Jaguars game with the Patriots. You know, if we can get up on them earlier and then keep playing, and if we can adjust to the Patriots' halftime adjustments, like I said, I think there is a chance.
You said something earlier about you can't make that mistake. You can't give Brady that mistake. You can't be turning it over and that kind of thing. And I look at Tom Brady, and I'm not dogging on Tom Brady, although I, you know, kind of dogged on him last week, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are so many times that he's almost a counterpuncher. He waits for you to make a mistake and then he capitalizes on it, as opposed to throwing these big haymakers. Not that he can't hit you with big plays and that kind of thing, but if you make a mistake, he is going to make you pay for it. That's what you can't have on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with that. And outside of Brady, I mean, I just think the Patriots themselves, I mean,
yes,
they're not going to beat themselves. I mean, like you said, they're not going to have the pick six. He might get a fumble. Deion Lewis, you know, might put it on the ground.
Yep.
But short of that, like I said, they're not going to beat themselves. So like I said, you actually, you know, you have to take it to them. Like I said, they're not going to give the game to you. They're just a good enough team in all phases that, you know, they'll do enough, you know, to kind of pull out the win. And like I said, if the Eagles, you know, like they'll have to come to play, because like I said, nothing, you know, they're not going to give it to them.
No, they won't. How big of a lead would Philadelphia need to be up by before you actually thought they had a chance to win? Like, is 10 points enough? 17? How many do you want? Like, let's say it's like start of the fourth quarter. How many does Philly need to be up by for you to be like, no, we might get this thing?
I'm going to say 17. Yeah.
How bad is that? That we're like, no, you're going to need at least like almost 20 points to feel like you're really.
It would have to be 17.
You're in it.
They're going to get two. You know, two touchdowns are coming. So, and then if we could just hang on.
So if we see like a, you know, 17-3 kind of game, you're still not breathing easy.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, if the Eagles actually won, and I know, because if you're a Philly fan, and like you said, you've been a Philly fan since, you know, back with the Randall Cunningham days, you have lived through some stuff. Like, you have survived some tough days. If the Eagles actually did win, how many cars are getting torched?
Oh, man. I mean, at least a couple blocks worth. People are just going to start and just go down at least a couple blocks.
You know what's crazy is you're an Eagles fan, but you are also a West Virginia fan because you went there, like you said. That is a combo that tells me, and I don't know this, that tells me you have most likely been involved in winning a big game and lighting something on fire. What have you burned after a big win?
Couches at West Virginia. That's...
Was it your couch or was it someone else's?
It was not my couch. It was one of the frat houses. And all the frat houses, you know, are in a row. And you could drag the couch out onto the front lawn and go ahead and light it on fire. Turns into a bonfire party. And it's a good time.
Oh, that is just awesome that you've actually done that. I'm so happy that you've been involved in that scenario. Like, I had to stop and take a breath there that you've actually burned a couch. Here I was joking about it. You've done it.
No, that is real. Like I said, West Virginia, you wouldn't think of it as a party school, but I mean, it you know, it really is. Like I said, 7 days a week, you can party every night and anything goes.
Oh, that
is... It's a good town, Morgantown.
That is awesome. I am going to be fascinated to see what is actually going to happen if Philly were to win this game. I mean, I can't get my head around what the people in Philadelphia would do if they actually somehow beat the Patriots.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Like I said, I am sure they are going to lose their minds.
Now, do you go out just because now you're here in Colorado? Do you just go out in your yard and just light up like a folding chair or something just to just to kind of be involved?
I think I might have to. I mean, I think I've got some old couch cushions. I think maybe just a cushion. And not an entire couch.
Got like a throw pillow. I'm just going to burn in my front yard. Okay, we got to get down to business here. How do you see this game going? How's this going to play out? Give me the final score.
Okay, I am going to stick with my Eagles.
Okay.
Like I said, I think the defense will show up. But with that said, Patriots still put up 24. Eagles, 4 touchdowns. We get one from Blunt, one from Ajayi. Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, 28-24, Eagles.
Now, here's my next question for you. Who wins the MVP, if that's the case?
I am going to say they give it to Fletcher Cox.
Okay. I like that pick.
On the defensive side.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick. I like that.
With a couple big sacks there in the fourth quarter. He comes up with a couple big sacks, has a good game. And, yeah, they give it to him at the end.
Rob, I'm telling you right now. All friendship aside and everything, I am cheering like a mother for your team. Please, please, I'm begging you, beat the Patriots. I'm so sick of the Patriots.
Me too, man. Me too. And yeah, man, we got the, I feel like the world on our side.
You absolutely do. Outside
of New England.
Yes. there is Boston, and then, of course, there's the bandwagoners around the country that have just decided they're going to be Patriots fans and all that. But for the most part, I think the rest of the planet is saying, Eagles, please come through and win a game.
Yes.
Well, you know, I hope that's the way the game goes. I will be cheering for you. We will be texting back and forth, of course. If it starts to go bad, or if you're only up by, you know, 11 or 13, you might want to start pounding some drinks and just getting prepped for Monday, whatever. But otherwise, you know, I'll send you a box of matches. And we will have to figure out a time to get you your fax machine. We'll make sure that we get that out to you. I'm gonna send you a picture of it, because I have a picture of it. I'm going to send it, and we will post it on the website as well. Rob, Big Rob, wins our very first Daily Dose fax machine prize. So we'll make sure to get that out to you.
Sounds good.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Dose. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you for all the contributions that you make. People don't realize it. You make contributions to the show every single week. I will get you the fax machine as soon as is physically possible. Handle it with care. It is under your supervision.
Sounds good. Go Eagles.
Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we have to talk about the latest in breaking sports news. Plus, do you realize they are estimating that over $12 billion, with a B, will be bet on the Super Bowl this year? You know, we're going to discuss a few of those more interesting parlay bets that are out there. And of course, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. You know, you have to tune in for those. What could we be ranking this week? Have to say thank you so much to Big Rob for stopping by. We enjoyed your visit immensely. Thank you all for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that tell a friend, that reach out with texts or tweets or emails, it is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a wonderful Tuesday. I will see you all tomorrow.